What's going on, everybody? This is Local Mash, the podcast. I'm Brad Lyons, hanging out in Batwell Studios with Van Gunner.
It's a pleasure, Brad.
What's going on, man?
Well, it's been a great week full of thought and introspection.
Yeah.
And that being said, I wonder if tonight's guest or any local musicians...
Who is Zach Austin, by the way?
Any of our local mashers can take crap lyrics from songs that I hate and make them a song that I could possibly love.
Okay.
Por ejemplo, Bad to the Bone.
I hate that song. Yep.
More than anything. Locomotion is a close number two.
Ooh, that's, yeah, that is rough.
But actually, this might be the one that beats everybody. Steve Miller's Abracadabra, which might be the worst song that's ever been written. So I wonder if anybody can take those lyrics and write a song that would make me weep. I wonder if, like, we should get Katie to redo a song that we hate and see if someone can turn it.
I mean, I think that's half the battle, is you just got to find someone that makes you a little bit sad or emotive. If, like, Katie's a good example. She's one of those, like, could sing the phone book somehow and I'd probably feel something.
You know what I mean? Like, man, the R's are so... I mean, the R's really... She knows the R, man.
So that's the songwriting challenge for everybody. Take Steve Miller Band's Abracadabra and re-envision it in a way that doesn't make Van want to punch himself in the balls.
I mean, I welcome playing anybody's version on the show, that if it can make
so is it the song or is it Steve Miller Band that you don't like?
It's the crap production. Actually, I mean, production wise, it sounds polished like it's supposed to, but the keys are weird. But it's really just the lyrics. Abra, abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab ya.
Yeah.
I heat up, I can't cool down. This feeling's got me round and round.
Yeah, that song is definitely not known for its poetic lyrics, for sure.
Well, you know, and this, we were talking about this the other day. Like, it was 7:15 and I was downtown in the morning on Thursday because I had to go meet somebody downtown at a building for a thing, and I can't even tell you about it. No, wasn't that cool. But next to me is this blue Hyundai with tinted windows, and the windows just cracked on all four sides so I could hear the lyrics. Broken angel falls from the sky. Grab her wings and learn to fly.
Yeah.
And this sounded like it was a new metal song, but it had come out, you know, recently. And I'm just thinking, like, how many middle schoolers have written that lyric 1,000 times before?
Yeah.
And with that kind of, to me, crap writing, can anyone make that believable to me? You know, like, can it be reworded by someone I really like it means something to me?
Yeah.
Because it sounds so overused.
Right. It became a thing for a while. People, especially singer-songwriter type artists, taking songs and figuring out an arrangement with just vocal and acoustic guitar, and it naturally brings a sense of kind of melancholy, and I don't know what the word for it is, that can make a ridiculous song sound really heartfelt and even deep sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I think that's...
songs have not achieved that level.
Right. I think if you're going to have painfully simple lyrics like that, it can only work if the music around it is what's driving the emotive force in the song.
Yeah. You can lose me in a good beat.
Totally.
Something catchy. But even on Abracadabra, it begins, ba-na-na. No, no, no.
Man, you remember way more about that song than I do.
Well, when I was a DJ for a 80s station, I played that almost nightly. I learned to really hate a lot of songs.
I was going to say, I can't believe you still like music. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, I don't like a lot of 80s music for sure.
Yeah.
Not anymore. And I never liked New Country, and I really don't like it now.
Ooh, it's even worse now.
In You Country. In You Metal.
It's the same as New Metal.
Mm-hmm.
New Metal's terrible. Korn is terrible.
I remember in Bass Player magazine when they did an interview with the bass player, and he just said, anybody that tries to play like me is straight whack. That's all I remember about him.
I can't respond to that. I can't.
Because it's true, bro. If you think about it, if you take 5 minutes and think about what he said in Bass Player magazine in 1996.
His words of wisdom coming from Fieldy. Lord. Isn't that his name,
Fieldy? Fieldy.
Yeah.
Clang, 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 clang. Oh, man. It is such a temple blinding, terrible sound for a bass to me.
Well, let's go from talking about terrible music to some really enjoyable music.
Now you're talking.
How about that? How about some Zach Austin?
Yeah.
He stopped by the studio with Katie a couple weeks ago, and we had a really good conversation.
Yeah.
He's a super smart dude. Very shy in a good way. You know what I mean? Like very, I don't know, he's very soft-spoken, and which is weird when... My first interaction was just watching him play, and I'd never had a conversation with him, never met him before, or whatever. And he, not in an arrogant, like, puff yourself up sort of way, but I loved his stage presence, which seemed very kind of comfortable and confident, not cocky. And you hear the songs, and it makes sense because they're really well written, and the lyrics are great, and he kind of is a good example of what you were just talking about in a way. Like I've heard him play live and I really feel something. And then when I break it apart, I'm like, oh, that's a really simple lyric.
Yeah.
But there's just something in the way that he puts it out that makes it special and makes you, it just feels very intimate. You know what I mean?
He's the total opposite of everything we were talking about previously.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. He's very, it's such a overused word, but he's very just genuine and unassuming, and he's got people that come to his shows. I know Katie's talked about this before in the show, and you can look in the crowd and like people know the lyrics to his songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But so many people, I feel like, haven't really heard of him, which I think is a shame, which is why he's going to be on the show to maybe help that along a little bit.
I say we play him now.
All right, let's do it. So yeah, you're going to hear some music from Zach Austin and The Lonesome. And then we are going to play my conversation with Zach Austin along with Katie Mulvihill. And we'll be back afterwards. See you, Van.
See you, Brad.
everybody comes around, or they don't, baby. That's just the way it goes. You see, 'cause women that come and women that go, but so do the people and the friends you know. So maybe it's time we learn to grow. Yeah, 'cause every time I ever did figure it out, when something else just had to come, a bad in a root, all the things that I know. Oh, but everything in the world, it just keeps turning. Baby, all you do is you just keep learning. Everything changes day to day. So don't let the sunshine fall in, don't let the rain pour in, and baby, we can both make it out the same. And everything in the world, it just keeps turning. Baby, all you do is you just keep learning. Everything changes day to day.
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Good. So let's talk a little bit more about growing up here and kind of when did you first start writing? When would you say that started? Because we talked earlier about, you know, you went through a metal phase.
Yeah.
Now you're this real deal country guy. you still got the long metal hair. But it's also like, you know, a little nod to almost like a Willie kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. Right. You know what I mean?
It's a Zach thing.
It is totally a Zach thing. But when did the actual songwriting start for you?
Still like in that metal phase. I mean, we wrote. But then it was like everything I was writing was like about like mythology and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was whatever.
Right.
But we had like a band called Triton, and everything was about like.
Nice.
I like
Greek
that.
Or that's Norse mythology band, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was fun. But as far as like writing like stuff that like really means something to me was I had a bluegrass band called Calling Station.
Cool. Hmm.
And it was the same dudes that were in the metal band pretty much. Like the guitar player like joined the army and then came back and had a banjo, and I was like, what the hell are we gonna do with a banjo, man? And he started playing it. I was like, hell yeah. They were doing that. And he's super good banjo. I don't think he really plays much anymore. But and then that broke up, and then I started playing with Shallow. But so I was writing still, just not until like we started doing the bluegrass stuff did I start writing lyrics that meant something to me.
Right.
And they were still mostly sad songs or drinking songs. I remember one time they were like, write a song that's not a drinking song. And I did. And then like the people that would come out to see us play ended up making that song a drinking song because I like hold a certain note out and everyone would cheers and drink. And I was like, that is the one song that's not about drinking, and that's the one y'all want to drink to. Great.
Right.
That's so awesome. That's definitely like coming out and seeing you though. The coolest thing about that struck me the first anytime I go see you anywhere is that you have the coolest fan base. Like everyone loves your music, and this is like your first recording for your solo stuff, right?
Yeah, like I haven't put out anything or recorded or done anything since the bluegrass band.
So these people are singing every lyric to your song from just hearing you sing it at shows, and that is insane.
That's like crazy.
And it is always so much fun to watch you play live.
Well, thank you.
I don't know too many people around here that don't have recorded music and people are following them around singing their
songs.
It's true. Like that's
usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, you know.
They got tons of stuff recorded and no one comes to the shows.
Yeah.
You know?
But Zach, yeah, you've got a great, like, almost any time I've ever heard you play.
I do kind of always make that joke when people are like, when are you going to record something? I was like, when you stop coming out to see me play.
Right.
Like, why not? Just keep coming to see me.
It's worked for you, man. For
so
sure.
Why is it, though, that you haven't
recorded
a whole lot?
I haven't had, like, a ton of, like, good experience, like, with certain, like, trying to record, mm-hmm. like, and liking the way it sounds.
What was it that bothered you the process?
I'm just kind of psychotic.
So like, I doubt that that's true. I mean, well, because we talked about this a little bit at Oak Hill the other night. Just how you feel. I think it was at Oak Hill. It had to have been. Just about how you feel about the recording process. And I don't think what you said, I think what you said makes the most sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you talking about this feeling. to put it simply, the studio can feel like a very sterile environment if not handled the right way. And for someone like you that doesn't come from a world of click tracks and, you know what I mean? That kind of has to, even with time, has to fit in with this thing. Like, that's got to feel terrible, right? Like, because you're used to either just being in front of the mic with your acoustic or with your band or whatever in the moment. That's such a different thing than recording. And you should record the way you play live.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing, like with CJ. Like, is we're just in the room and we just play it. And
then I think it's important to point out too, like, as just someone that's recorded and felt the same way you did, had, you know, not a terrible experience, but just finding the right producer is just like finding the right person in your band.
Yeah.
And there needs to be this, you need to be able to feel comfortable with them and like be able to talk about things. If you go into the studio and you don't have that, you're just not going to get as good of a product as when you finally meet that person that you're like, all right, I can, you know, be open and honest and stuff with. So,
yeah.
So you were saying that you were talking earlier, you think everything's probably going to be done by May?
We're doing a show at Workplay May 8th, and that's when I'm going to try to release it. It should all be done by then.
That's awesome. But,
and it'll be with Cashback, rose-colored glasses, and then Lauren Brown has a Patsy Cline tribute as well.
Nice.
So it's just going to be a bunch of classic country and then us.
Sweet.
So, and we're just going to release it that night. So it's just going to be a big country night, like classic country night.
Perfect.
So. Oh, yeah.
We've done it once before, but we did it at Brennan's for my birthday last year. And it was huge. It was awesome. Like, it's probably one of my favorite birthdays I've had in a while. So, because it was just a bunch of friends and we just got to listen and play a bunch of country music.
Hell yeah.
It rocked.
How many songs would you guess? I'm sure you don't know, but how many songs would you guess that you've written?
I actually do know.
Ooh.
That are actually done. Because someone asked me not that long ago, and I have like like a list like in my phone, because I'll forget songs. Mm-hmm. And like I'll just get them in case. And I think the last time I looked, I think I have like 52.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And none of them are recorded.
That's so insane. I mean, it's not insane.
But I'm working on it.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I mean, I've loved the first two so far. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're kind of batting 1,000 with that. But I wanted to ask you, like, Katie was talking about how you have no recorded material out until now, but yet you can come see you play, and people will know the words to your songs, right? And that doesn't happen all that often, I don't feel like, here, at least here in town anyway. Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. Yeah. I got good buddies.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you play a lot, though. That's probably it, too. It's like,
if not doing full band, I play with other people, and I get to do my songs with them. Then me and Shallow play a lot. And it also helps that Allison's always at my shows just screaming the words. So,
right.
That helps.
Yeah.
Because everyone kind of gets drawn towards her because she's wild.
Well, there's, like, I remember the first time I met you. I think it was, like, 2 years ago. And I just decided to start playing again and hadn't played in years. And I got on a bill with you at the Nick, right?
Was that?
It was me.
It was with the Lonesome, right?
Yeah. It was me and you and Brian Revels, I think, from Atlanta.
That might have been the first time we, like, legit did the Lonesome.
Oh, okay.
I think it was.
Nice.
And then, like, right after that, I was like, I want her to open up for the Lonesome every time.
Well, it was
and
so
we
great.
Were going strong with it for
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah, well, it was just so nice. Like, I remember, like, I was so nervous. I was so nervous to play again because I had done a thing like you do with Shiloh with my sister, and so it was, like, going from not playing music in, like, almost 10 years to not having someone there with me, because that, like, when someone's singing with you, it's, you feel, for me, I felt so much less seen, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you mess up or whatever, they're there, they can just kind of jump in and take over. So I remember being super nervous and walking in, and you were so nice. And I called my sister afterwards, and I was like, I just met the coolest people. Like, I am just so it's so different than when, like, I talk about this on the show all the time about how Birmingham right now is really cool because the music scene is so supportive. Yeah, and a family, supportive of each other. And it's there's not this, like, feeling of competition or, like, these weird, like, jealous stuff. It's just, like, everyone is so... They just come up, they're just happy for each other. They just want to see each other succeed, and so.
I'm pretty jealous of some of your songs, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's a good kind of competition, yeah. You know?
But it wasn't like, you were so sweet and so supportive, and one of the things I've always loved about you is you're always talking about someone else. Like, almost any time I see you, you're like, have you listened to so-and-so, or have you, even when you're up on stage, you'll like, just the way you talk about the other bands you're playing with, it's just... Like, you're just the real deal, man. Like, you write great songs, you're a great artist, but also you're just a great person. And so that's just really cool. Like, anytime I've ever been around you, and he shows up to all my shows that I'm embarrassed that people, like, I played at the Nick. It was like random Wednesday night. It was pouring down rain. It was the most depressing birthday. And in walks Zach. No one is there. And Zach and Allison walk in. I was like, thank God. Like, somebody is here. And so, yeah, they're just like, you're just a good guy. Making you red over here. Yeah, like, please stop. But it is true. I want people to know that about you. Like, you're not just super talented. Like, you're a neat, neat person.
Oh, thank you.
So, and you share your tequila with me.
So. Which makes you extra neat.
Extra neat. I'm like happy about that. I haven't heard
neat since, I don't know, 98?
Cool beans.
Duh.
And here we are.
Did you guys live through the duh no doy?
No.
That was before.
I remember people saying that.
Sorry, you wouldn't remember, Katie. It was just after the Great Depression when I was a teenager. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's how far ago or long ago it was. So we talked about the Lonesome. First of all, that's the other thing too, is I got World Keeps Turning, mm-hmm. and I got Ryan Saab and the Dead Mall.
Yep. Yeah. We were talking EP, about that just a minute ago. Yeah.
Like at the same day, I got copies.
We did not plan that either, which is crazy.
Well, I loved about it was like, man, that whole and the whatever can get so tired, and mm-hmm. sometimes the band name mm-hmm. is just like... Man, just to be it. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I loved both of those names. I was like, the Lonesome? How is no one like
taking that?
That's so perfect. And it's perfect for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like the vibe of the whole thing. And then for that, Ryan Saab and the Dead Mall. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means.
Ryan writes a lot about malls. I think if you were to listen to his, like, there's a lot of songs where he's talking about, he must have spent a lot of time at a mall when he was a kid.
That wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Like, he just got dropped off as a kid,
like after school.
Yeah. Ooh, come back at 9 when it closes. Yeah. Do your homework in the food court.
Yeah, I don't know.
So who's the Lonesome?
Right now, like, so it's, I don't know, it'll probably, like, change up some.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, it's been James Mullis and Adrian and Daniel on drums. I want to keep Daniel on drums as much as he hates it because he's like, I'm not a drummer. You could get such a better drummer. I'm like, you work perfect.
No, he does. It works.
Like, he's just like perfectly simple enough for like mm-hmm. the way I don't like when people like overplay mm-hmm. to like country music.
Especially your kind of music. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
I've also had like on World Keeps Turning, like Taylor Goodwin's on that.
Cool.
And he's played with me. Few times, and so it's probably gonna change, especially with like James and Adrian doing their thing right now,
right?
Like being on the road. So, but I've got a handful of good, talented friends there, and but right now it's been James, Adrian, Daniel on drums, and Davis on pedal steel. So,
man. There is something to what you're talking about with Daniel playing drums. It's kind of, it reminds me of, I remember Jack White saying in this interview about Meg, was that he loved that she played like a kid, like a child, like a mm-hmm. What's the word for it? You know, she wasn't sitting around learning crazy fills and Neil Peart stuff, or, you know, it's just mm-hmm. like she just sat down and was like instinctually playing that simply to his songs and those guitar riffs, you know? And there's a real beauty in the way that can work, because it is the simplicity. Mm-hmm. Like, with a proper drummer, quote unquote, maybe you'd have to spend a lot of time trying to rein them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no, dude, all you need is like a ride cymbal, a hi-hat, a snare, and a kick drum.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. You know what I mean? I love when those kind of, I like it when people play certain styles of music on an instrument they're not totally comfortable with, because I feel like you get more interesting stuff out of that.
Yeah.
You know?
So what are the other songs that you're planning on recording?
So I've got those two. Oh, my bad. We got those two, and then we have another song that's almost done as well called Awful Things. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that my mom said, I don't like that one, it makes me want to cry. So, but it's pretty much just
probably
about...
probably going to be my favorite song. Though.
Yeah, right. It's pretty much just about like a depression and stuff, and like having just like bad thoughts. Mm. So, but yeah, it's just a real sad one.
I love those, though.
And then we have my murder song.
Oh, yeah.
we're doing that one. It's called Robert Glenn.
Yes. Is that... Now, I don't know if I'm right, so correct me if I'm wrong, but James told me that you woke up one night, wrote that song, and don't remember writing it.
No, that's not that song.
Okay.
This is a,
this
song.
A different murder song?
No, the other one's, that one's not a murder song. The one that he's talking about is, it's not going to be on there, but hopefully I'll get to do it. But, like, I'm a huge Merle Haggard fan.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So when he died,
yes,
a bunch of people...
that's one of my favorite ones you do. Yeah.
When he died, a bunch of people came out and was just like, Zach, let's do shots for Merle, like, you know, because mm-hmm. it, like, was a bad one for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got me, like, really drunk. And then I went home and I wrote a song, like, pretty much, like, thinking about Merle Haggard or whatever. Right. And I was like, this is awesome. And then I woke up and I listened to my, like, recording I did on the phone, could not understand a word that I was singing. And I was just like, God dang it. So I just rewrote it, like, that day, like, with the same melody, and it worked out. But that song's called Heaven Has a Neon Sun.
Yes, that's one of my favorite ones you do.
The murder song is called Robert Glenn. It's that, like, a kind of gypsy
country. See,
because
when he was telling me about it, I was like, that's the creepiest story ever. Like, to, like, wake up and write a murder song and not remember writing it. Like,
yeah.
But it's still a cool story.
I should have just said yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
No, Robert Glenn is a made-up story that I wrote a long time ago. About this guy that is just like takes people to a river house and kills them.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Oh man.
How often do you write not from your point of view? How often are you writing a story about someone else's perspective?
Not very often. It's gotta be like either something that I find just like really interesting
mm-hmm.
or like something probably more than likely good bad happening to someone
right.
that I care about a lot.
Right.
Like sometimes then, but most of the time I write about myself. That sounds bad.
No. It's cool.
No. I was just interested. I mean, I was just curious. Cause some people...
Or if somebody does something stupid at a bar.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. I get that. Do you have a preference, or is it apples and oranges to playing by yourself and or as opposed to with a band? As far as live goes,
I would much rather have a band.
You would?
Yeah. Or someone. Like, I don't necessarily like playing solo, like by mm-hmm. myself, but I don't hate it either. Because mm-hmm. I feel it depends on where I'm playing.
Of course.
Like, yeah. When I did Max Stern,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that because it's like a more intimate.
Right.
Like, people are really listening. But, yeah. Like, if I'm like, you know, playing like a venue or something like that, yeah. I would rather have a band.
This is a different energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to get really into it when there's people behind you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it gives you so much more energy, too, playing with people that you like personally, you know what I mean, but also mm-hmm. respect as musicians, and that definitely takes the pressure off, for mm-hmm. sure. But yeah, I've got to go to Max Stern.
Yeah.
I can't,
it's cool.
I still haven't gone.
Me and Shiloh's doing one.
For real?
I think it might be the next one.
Do you know?
In April?
In April?
Because I do them once a month, or March.
No, I think we're doing, I think it's like March 7th.
Sweet.
Me and Shallow's on one. And Brandon Snipes.
Yep.
He's doing cool. It too, which he has Four Birds sessions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's really cool. I just did one of those with, you know Graham Harper, don't you?
I think we've met in passing.
Mm. Yeah. I just went in and did a thing with him, but I'm just like playing the cajon.
Sweet.
Oh, cool.
It's a cool song though.
It'll, yeah.
It'll be coming out soon.
Nice. So who would you say, like, as far as other artists or whatever, who do you think like influences you the most?
That's one of those impossible questions to me. I really don't know, because, I mean, I actually, like, when I was young, like, didn't have an idea at all what, like, country music was, because my dad's, like, a big, like, kind of heavier, like, rock and roll dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was always, like I, me and my sister used to, like, just be little and, like, just singing Judas Priest and stuff. Yeah, like, you know, and stuff like that. And then, like, so I don't know, like, there's a lot of weird rock and roll influences too, but I don't know. Big like Merle Haggard and John Prine and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
the obvious.
Sure.
The greats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I felt the way you were talking about how you felt when Merle died, that being a rough one. And Johnny Cash was like that for me. I went, I found out he died. I don't remember what I was doing. No, I was out running some errands and I just happened to have a radio on, and they came on and said it. And I went straight to the gas station and bought a case of Miller Lite and went to the room where my computer and my speakers were and just hit shuffle on Johnny Cash with an acoustic guitar in my hand and just beer.
This
and
is
I just
breaking
listened
my
to
heart.
The whole thing. And I did shed a tear at some point during that thing. And there's lots of people that I love as musicians and stuff that have died or passed away or whatever, but there's only been a few that really, and it's always surprising me to me, the ones that actually kind of get to me.
This, yeah.
Like it was, I, like Leonard Cohen, like you knew that was coming. He's older, you know what I mean? But it was still, that was a bad one for me too. But like I was around for Kurt Cobain dying. That was awful. And I listened to that stuff, you know? But it didn't get me the way as some of the, like Chris Cornell, who's lead singer of Soundgarden, passed away about a year and a half, 2 years ago, just kind of out of nowhere. And it's weird for me because some of those people, especially that age, right?
Yeah.
He's not that old, much older than me.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably like 15 years older than me, 20 years older than me, still young. But he was one of those people. I don't know if you have people like this, but there was some sense that, you know, I think inherently as creative people, we tend to at least spend part of our lives feeling like other, like an alien or like different than a lot of people. You know what I mean? And I don't think I realized that I was doing it at the time, but Chris Cornell's death for me is an example of, you know, you're kind of born into the music you're going to listen to, the current music, right? Like, of course, I'd found Zeppelin and I'd found all these other rock bands from the past, but you have a place in your heart for whatever you were listening to as a teenager, whatever the thing was.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I was lucky that the thing at that time was rock and roll, right? It was the Seattle stuff, that kind of new, they got rid of all the cheesy bullshit 80s stuff. And whether you liked it or not, at least seemed to be writing stuff that was, you know, like country music, like old country music. It was like truly this person's experience and this person's perspective. And those people were kind of like heroes to me, especially the men in the sense that it was almost like they were teaching me how to go through life in some ways because I live the same kind of life as them. I might not be famous or I don't mean that, but just the day to day kind of,
you felt,
you talk about depression and the way we feel things so deeply, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I thought, oh, he's one of my dudes from that whole scene because they're all dead. Lane Staley, Alice in Chains, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Cobain, dead. It's like Eddie Vedder and Chris seemed like the only ones that made it out of the whole craziness with heads on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just gone. And it was like, you know, and I deal with depression and I've been sober from alcohol for the last 3 years or so. And that's been tough. And do you ever have people like that you kind of, as you were growing up as a songwriter or as a musician, kind of looked at and see how they were living their lives? Or am I kind of weird in looking at that as well?
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, I don't know if I have anyone like super specific, but
right.
I mean,
Well, I mean, like drinking, right? Like drinking synonymous with music, I guess. Yeah. But especially rock and roll, country, like those are kind of like the drinking genres.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And all that, I guess the bigger point is all that kind of stuff's wrapped up in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard because I feel like I learned certain parts of my personality that made me really good at something like music, but I didn't know that I had to turn off those parts of my personality for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, that worked, so mm-hmm. I'll just do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have no kind of control over all these emotions and thoughts and ideas and feelings that are kind of constantly, they're spinning through your head. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I was born to be an alcoholic, but I know that being on the road forever.
Yeah.
And
turns out you're really good at it.
Well, it's out of boredom. It was all out of boredom. It's like I'm only working for like an hour and a half a day,
mm-hmm.
which is why I'm on stage. And the rest of the time I'm sitting in backstage or in a bus or in a whatever. So fuck it. Let's have some drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, I took January off from drinking.
And, yeah.
It like blew everyone's mind. They were like, what? Why?
And I'm like, you didn't have to go to the hospital?
I don't know. Just like me and a buddy just decided like January we just weren't going to drink. Other than one day, it was his birthday.
So, I remember this.
And we went hard that day. But, it kind of made me realize that like, I don't really have to drink. Like I don't, I literally am the exact same person when I drink and when I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
no one even really realized that I wasn't drinking.
I don't think there's ever been a time when I've been around you that I'm like, oh, Zach's really gone too far. Like, you just are so chill all the time.
Right.
I'm sure you've had those moments, but as far as when I've seen you, it's always just been like, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's not like something to brag about, like,
I know, or anything
like that. It's just like, but it did make me realize, because I mean, I didn't drink till I was 21. Like at all, and then like I just went hard and have been like since then, and then like so I didn't really ever like take some time to just be like, oh yeah, you know, like I don't really have to drink. It's just like turns into a habit. Mm-hmm. Like you're at a bar and like, you know, like almost every bar in Birmingham I go into, everyone's just like high life and a whiskey.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's already like open. And I'm like, yeah, well,
okay.
So
yeah, I used to have a couple of those bars and. I remember, you know, the bartenders, I would walk through the front door and I'd look to see who's bartending because I knew all of them. And they'd look and see me and stop whatever they're doing literally as I'm walking through. And they would grab a bottle of Jameson off the thing and a pint glass
mm-hmm.
and just look at me and go,
there you go.
And just pour as
got
long
you,
as
buddy.
It took.
I got you.
You know, yeah. Which was like. 6 shots in a glass and then maybe a little water or something. But how are you not going to drink when someone's doing it? It would be rude.
Right?
It'd be rude for me to say, no, I won't take that drink at regular price.
Pour that back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Not today.
Oh, man. It's interesting. Like, I was having a conversation with someone the other day and they didn't play music or whatever. And they were like, talking kind of like how musicians are just so cool all the time. And how is this like,
no. We're not.
And that's the thing. Like, you don't realize it's like, it's the most, like when you're there and you're, it's like, it all comes from like severe insecurity and like booze really helps when you're insecure. And like, especially when you're doing something, I'm like, cause they were asking like, do you ever get nervous? I'm like, I am nervous 99% of my life all the time. Right. Anytime I go anywhere, I'm nervous, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, being able to go somewhere and, like, yeah, like, I think, I've been in counseling a lot the last year, and that's one of the things we've talked about a lot is she's like, you know, do you know how to function without this crutch? And I was like, sure.
Mm.
Do I not want to, do I... but it's a good one.
But I really like it.
It works, you know? And she said, that's the thing. She told me, she was like, Katie, that's the thing about our coping mechanisms is we use them because they work.
Right.
It's like, but is it serving you well? And I'm like, it's done a pretty damn good job, honestly, for the most part of my life. So, yeah, but it is, it's a strange world to be in because I feel like musicians are a lot alike in that we are all dealing with that. Like, hearing another musician be like, yeah, man, I'm really depressed. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, me too. You know? So it's just like those feelings, they're all there. And it's like we're all in a room together trying to figure out how to get through them. And that's why we write songs. And that's why we drink so much. And that's why we're all here on a Tuesday night instead of at home.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, it is. It's a fine line to walk and trying to figure out how to enjoy life and enjoy your time and not letting it, you know, overtake you sometimes. So
that's like, I've got a bunch of friends that are always just like, you have like the coolest life. All you do is play music and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, it is just as stressful as having a job.
Yeah.
Like, to me,
if not more, because you actually care about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like, they're just like, yeah, but you're out every night and blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but
that gets old.
Yeah.
That gets real old.
You know? And they just think that like all I do is just have like a ton of fun.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, I do have fun, but like, it's not like
it's not fun. Isn't the right word.
Yeah.
Right. Like when I get out of a session or a show or whatever it is, I don't ever come off going, that was so much fun. It's because it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or for me anyway, my definition of fun, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's cathartic. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of other positive words, but it ain't fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You are a human being, like you were just saying, like you feel like you're nervous 99% of your life, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like I understand you being insecure, right? Because I am, but I don't see it. I see no reason why you should be insecure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's hard to like remind yourself of that everyone that you encounter feels that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, like so many people are like always asking us, like, why are all of your songs so sad? You're like the happiest person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, dude, I'm just like a really relaxed person.
Yeah.
Like, I just come off as really happy because like I'm not like just visually look sad or
no
mad
one
or
does.
Anything.
That's
like,
the thing. Right. I feel like the most depressed people and like the people in my life.
The people that seem normal are usually
really funny.
Yeah.
Like the people that I know that have personally dealt with depression in really hard ways or like sadly like eventually took their own life or something. You would have never
pegged always check that on person. Your happy friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Or the ones, yeah, that are just
quiet.
Always,
like or not quiet, but like seem really normal.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's true. And I think it's to combat that because I don't know anyone that really just walks around and is like, oh, I'm so sad. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be that guy.
Yeah,
you know? Right. So it's like, which we should all, I guess, give ourselves a little more grace and be that guy sometimes and talk about it. Maybe that would help. But I don't know.
It's weird because I don't want to, I try and let, I'll talk about it if the conversation like this goes there. But it's so funny, like with actually dealing with my personal mental health issues in a real way and quitting drinking, there's nothing worse than the guy that's gone to rehab for something like alcohol and just talks about it all the time. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't want to shy away from it because of what we just talked about, which is that everyone is dealing with something all the time.
Yeah.
There's no exceptions to it. And you never know, maybe there's one person that hears this conversation that little bit of it was helpful for.
Yeah,
right?
I hope so.
Like I have moments before I decided to quit drinking that stick out in my head. And the person that caused that has no idea. One of them being actually Jason Isbell, because I went and saw him at the Alabama and I was really wrestling with I didn't want to admit that I should quit drinking, but I just knew. I knew it was coming, whether it was because I finally got in trouble or I just couldn't take it anymore. I just knew it was coming down the road, but went and saw him and he played Cover Me Up by himself in the middle of the set at the Alabama and everyone's drinking, a lot of drunk people, which is great. You know, it's like, it was fun.
Yeah.
But he sang that line about quitting drinking and got a standing ovation mid-song for that one line. It was like, he did it. And yeah. he's not making shitty music. His yeah. music's still great. yeah. If anything, he's gotten better after he got sober.
That I think
because that was my hang up.
Yeah.
One of my excuses that I knew was bullshit, but yeah. I liked using it. It's like, I might not be able to make great art anymore if I did in the first place. But
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like you thought it was going to affect it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing him up there, not only just saying it, and it's written indelibly into one of his more popular or really popular song,
mm-hmm.
but to see a whole crowd of people, even the drunk ones, stand up.
Yeah.
Because it was bigger than that. It was like
yeah.
his fans understood what that looked like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was in the car on the way home afterwards. I was like, I think I can do it. I said it out loud. Like, I think I'm going to do this. And I think it was just a couple months later that I actually did it. And he doesn't know that.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? Like, we have no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That's Maybe you amazing. Should write him a letter.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd get it. yeah.
Thanks, man. Thank you for your song.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be like as easy as it was in January for me to like just do a whole month,
mm-hmm.
which is not, you know, like that impressive or anything. But like I was like, man, this is going to be hard to do because it's such a habit.
Right.
You know, and like everyone, like when I go out, everyone expects me to be drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, yeah, like Zach drinks. like,
yeah.
Let's do shots with him because he'll definitely take them.
Right.
And, but like the people that were trying to like offer me drinks when I would say it, like, were surprisingly just like, dang, man, I need to do that. That's yeah. awesome. You know, like, so
yeah.
it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
The first couple of days sucked really bad because we started like, right after New Year's, so like we both were like, we're getting so drunk to the point right. where we don't want to drink for a
right.
month.
yeah.
like, and that worked.
It does work, man.
but the worst part is like his birthday was on the, he's going to be mad if I say it wrong, 26th, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like we had like one more week after we had that, our one day we could drink.
Yeah.
And like three of those days of the week was a hangover because yeah. like my body was just like, we had something going, man. Come on, why are you doing that again? like, so that sucked. So like the last week was just like, oh God, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Man.
So. You said something earlier too about people commenting on your sad songs, but you seem like such a kind of, I don't know, soft-spoken, light, easygoing guy. I kind of feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but the way you're able to be that guy is because you write those songs.
Yeah.
It's a thing that
yeah, it's
you,
an outlet.
You get it out of the system in a healthy way, and you can save, you know, quote unquote, save the brooding for the song mm-hmm. and for the writing and capturing that thing, but you don't have to live in that state
yeah.
all the time.
But there are some you know? Songs that I've written that I don't like to sing because they put me back in a,
yeah,
at a bad like place. I did one Thursday night, actually, that somebody asked for. And the guy that was playing with him was like, yeah, that's a really good song. He's like, yeah, I don't like doing that song.
Because yeah.
mm-hmm. it's about a friend of mine that passed away.
Mm.
But so it's like one that like every time I sing it, I'm just like constantly thinking about her. And I'm
yeah,
just like,
sure.
oh, man. And it just puts me in a really bad headspace. So I don't even like do that song.
Mm.
But so.
Yeah, talk about doing music being fun.
Yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
sound fun. Yeah. You know what I mean?
yeah.
But it's Parts the stories, right. though, yeah. that need to be told.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the cool thing about you. I feel like when you do those sad songs, for me, when we went over and saw you at Oak Hill, and you kept, like, apologizing.
I was like, we're going to do another sad one.
yeah, man.
But
they're not all sad. I've got fun, like, fun bar songs,
you do,
too. But
absolutely. But, like, when you did those, that was, like, some of those songs, it was the first time I had heard them, and I kept saying to Brad, like, this is a great song. Mm-hmm. It was such a good song, and it... And I think sometimes we think that it's just going to bring the mood down and you don't want to be that again. You don't want to be that guy. But for me that night, it was like I felt like so much more understood.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I felt like and I feel that way a lot around you anyway, because you just seem like you're so much deeper than what you put. Like I can just tell that you've been through a lot of shit and that you would understand. And I feel like I've never been afraid to talk to you about anything. Like you would just, and I feel like most of your friends feel that way about you.
Yeah.
So when you sing songs like that, to me, it was like, oh yeah, like cool. Like somebody else in here feels this way or yeah. has felt this way.
It makes you feel less alone. It doesn't yeah. make you feel sad.
It didn't make yeah. me feel sad. It made me feel like, okay, I'm seen. Someone understands. This is not like a weird thing I'm the only person in the world going through, you know? So mm-hmm. yeah, like I know we got off on this huge, like, sad. Yeah. I know this is not your favorite thing to talk about, but right. It's to me, like, it's, you don't even realize, I think the cool thing about you is you don't even realize how good you are for other people around you and what you do for them as a friend and just as a musician and the songs you sing. And, you know, like, I literally tell everyone this about you, like, Zach's fan base is just, it's just awesome. And they're like, what they're saying about you, because I'm normally in the crowd, and what they're saying about you and how much they love you. And people don't do that, you know, unless you're that kind of guy.
Right.
Like, unless you're, they're not just blowing shit.
What are they saying? Know? I'm just kidding.
They just always say really great things. Like, they're always talking about how talented you are. And then just, like, always that you're such a good guy. And almost everyone is like, yeah, Zach came over and helped me do so-and-so, or he helped me do this. Like, I was hanging out with Sylvia, and she's like, yeah, he built the bar at our wedding. Like, you just are, like, always so helpful, and you just a good friend, man. So, anyway. I'll stop now.
Now it's my turn to embarrass him. I'm just I'm not going to do that to you.
I'm sorry. I just really, like, I just think you're the bee's knees, man.
Well, thank you.
God, man, I love all the antiquated cliches that you're using today.
Oh, I've got many more.
I know. So we got more. We got another interview after this too, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to use
great.
Them.
Yeah.
Man, Zach, thanks so much for coming in and hanging out, and I hope it wasn't too painful for you and that you'll come back again as you keep releasing stuff. And I'm really glad you're recording now. So,
yep. May 8th is your release date.
Yeah.
See Zach with Cashback and rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what she calls the Patsy. She might just be Patsy Cline tribute. I'm not positive on that.
Okay.
Like, I went to my friend's wedding, and she mentioned that she does it, and I was like, "That we need that too. We're doing that too." Yeah.
Yes,
hell perfect. Yeah, Patsy Cline.
I love Patsy Cline. So
if anybody wants to, like, follow you and figure out where you're playing and when you're releasing music and stuff, where can they go?
I guess my Facebook for Zach Austin and the Lonesome.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Or Zach and Shiloh's Facebook, and we have a website, it's just zachandshiloh.com.
And how do you spell Shiloh?
Chyloe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't have guessed
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
That's it's awesome. Not Chloe. It's not Shannon, and it's not Cheyenne. We've gotten Shannon before. That's weird.
That is weird. I don't know how anybody would get that.
That's out there.
But anyway, thank you, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Absolutely.
Singing songs to drunk mothers, telling them I feel smothered all the time. I wanna get out of here, 'cause that drunk won't shut up. Yeah, you know I'm fed up, telling me it's all the Doobie Brothers way back when, that I don't give a damn. 'Cause it's hard right now, trying to be me. I said it's hard right now, honey, just to try to be me. Oh, it's hard right now, especially since the drinks ain't free. There's this little old blondie saying that she wants me. Maybe I should sober up and just to stick to the plan. Well, the gig is almost over, I ain't half a sober, and she's staring at me, hoping it ain't a one-night stand. Well, I ain't your man, 'cause it's hard right now, honey, just to try to be me. I said it's hard right now, honey, just to try to be me.
says that drunk won't shut up. Yeah, you know I'm fed up. Telling me he saw the Doobie Brothers way back when. Man, I don't give a damn. Cause it's hard right now, honey, just to try to be me. I said it's hard right now, honey, just to try to be me. It's hard right now, especially since the drinks ain't free.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Local Mash, the podcast. Huge thanks to Zach Austin for stopping by. Huge thanks to my co-host, co-interviewer for this episode, Katie Mulvihill, and of course, Daniel Long and Van Gunter. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Next week, we'll have Rachel Roberts, so be sure to listen to that. This is Brad Lyons reminding you guys to listen local. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Batwell Studios Podcast Division. Your words, our expertise.